Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small-town barbershop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill radio show. Thank you for tuning in. We are always so grateful for the privilege of being to speak to these anointed guests that God gifts us with. And we thank you that you've joined us and that you can share this on our podcast with your friends and family throughout this country. Today's a very special day. But I'm going to start off with asking our co-host, sometime co-host, Pastor Mary Shelnut, to come on and start us with a prayer. Would you mind, Pastor Mary?
Oh, yes, definitely. We just, Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just lift up our country to you, Lord. We lift up our nation. We lift up the world to you, Father. And we just pray, Father. We pray for peace in Jerusalem, Lord God. We pray, God, that the word of God will open up and that the people will hear what you have to say unto the body of Christ, Father. We thank you, O Lord God. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, that we can minister to your people and to the people that are in need of hungry and thirsty after your word today, Lord God. And we just pray, Lord, that your word would not return void, but it will accomplish what you please, Father. And we thank you today, Lord. We thank you for the City on the Hill today, Lord God. It is reaching out all over the world to a dying generation, Father. And we just ask that you just have your way today in every person that is on this broadcast today, Lord God. Speak through us today. Use us as tools for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mary. It's always such a privilege to have you here with us. You yourself are in a ministry called Ground Zero, where you're helping the homeless, the helpless, the depressed. And I hate to say it, I'm sure that if the true statistics were found, quite a lot of those that are homeless are military, former military. And Mark is here with us. Mark Lashley and Rob Light is here with us. They are part of a group, listeners, called Calling Levi. And it's really very apt when I think of where you have come from, Mark, especially, I think you are a former accountant. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Yeah, God. Well, let me ask you this, Mark. Your wife, Tammy, and Stephanie, they're sisters, so this is really a family ministry, but you're part of a bigger family, the family of God.
Right.
And I'm wondering, what event pushed you all to let God take total control of your lives where you would leave your jobs and just go like Matthew, you know, like the accountant Matthew?
All right, and that's actually where we got our name from, Calling Levi. We weren't really pursuing, you know, being singers or musicians. I mean, we really just wanted to pursue God's call upon our lives, and he had definitely gifted us in certain ways, and, you know, we were using those gifts for his glory to the best that we knew how. And just, you know, in setting out to be sensitive to his leading, you know, the four of us, we sang together, and just through prayer and just, again, just being sensitive and trying to be as obedient as we could to how he led us, he called us to step out in faith. And when we were feeling that call, we came across that passage of scripture in Luke 5:27-28, where you said Matthew, who was known as Levi as well, his name was also Levi, and in that he was an accountant or a publican in those days, and is what they called him, and tax collector. And it says that Jesus came there into his tax booth and said, "Follow me." And it says immediately he got up, left everything, and followed Christ. And when we were feeling that call, we came across that passage of scripture and were just so encouraged and blessed by his example. And then just thought, you know, because really here in America, we're so comfortable. There's so many things, and we can reason away callings, you know. Oh, well, let me just save up this much money first, or wait till my kids get to be a certain age, you know, till we can get in a comfortable position to take that step. But that's not what Levi did or what Matthew did. It says he immediately got up, left everything, and followed Jesus Christ. He was obedient right there. And, you know, we said, well, if he did it, we can do it. You know, we were just so encouraged by his testimony and example in God's word, and that really encouraged us to do it. And that's where we came up with the name of our ministry, our music ministry, Calling Levi.
Wow, and I think, you know, it's so awesome because all four of you sounds like you're just equally yoked together for the purpose. And I just think, Rob, you know, if it weren't for that, you were ready. I mean, most people would not do this.
It's a God thing, you know, and we did question, you know, we had small children at the time, and we still have small children, but they are a little bit older now. You know, and taking a step of faith, you know, how are we going to pay for health insurance? I mean, it was a step of faith, you know, and we were really putting ourselves, as far as man is concerned or from a human perspective, in a vulnerable position, you know. But that's where God wants us. I mean, he's our provider, and we're going into our 10th year of ministry, and God has been so faithful. And, yeah, it didn't make sense, and we got a lot of flack from family members who loved us and were concerned about us and said, you know, how are you going to pay for this? And how are you going to pay for this? And to be honest, we did not have the answer. But we did know that God was leading us strongly, you know, in this direction. And there definitely have been moments when we've been on our knees and crying out to God for help and for provision. But for 10 years, he's been faithful, and we are just so grateful. And
wow.
You're right. I think that God brought us together. We each have different gifts and kind of, we all just fit together like a puzzle almost as far as this ministry is concerned, and we're very thankful for it.
How long had you been a Christian before this this decision came up?
I got saved at a young age. I was 12 years old, and I was the son of a pastor, so I kind of grew up in the church. Whenever the doors were open, man, we were there, suit and tie and the whole deal. And you know, I was about 12 when I, you know, started really questioning my salvation, and never really. Of course, at 12 back then, you really couldn't get into a lot of trouble. So it wasn't like, you know, I had this crazy awesome testimony, but anyway, the Lord was speaking to me as a child, and I decided to put Him first in my life and step out. And so, grew up in the church and, you know, sang here and there, and I really didn't start singing until I was about 16, I guess, was the first time I sang in like a little kids youth choir. I went to school in Lynchburg, Virginia, Liberty University, and got my college degree there, and that's where I met my wife. And we joined a missions organization, traveled all over the world, and it was pretty neat to be involved in third world countries, places that people who never heard the name of Jesus Christ before, never held a Bible. I mean, just orphan children who desperately needed attention and love. You know, we were able to just do what we were called to do for these folks, and then we decided to settle down once the kids started coming. Our kids joined in our family, so we moved to Delaware, and it was shortly after that move, God was just, so evident, just calling us to step out on faith, and you heard kind of how what that was like through what Mark just said, but learning to listen to God is, you know, that's a ongoing.
I love that.
You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, it just builds every day. You learn to how to listen and what to listen for. You know, when I first became a Christian, I wanted, and I still do, it'd be nice to hear something audible every once in a while. But you know, the Lord, He speaks. You know, and you, if you learn to listen and follow Him, it's worth the ride. I mean, it's, you know, we look past in the last 10 years and just give God the glory. He always comes through and continues to provide. And you know, when He says to jump through this hoop, do it, you know, with everything you got, and expect some big rewards. So it's been a blessing.
Well, it's funny because I was just reading the scripture to a little child last night about what the Bible says for children to do, you know, to obey your parents. So, you know, at a young age, you were already being trained to be obedient to your parents. And so when you heard from the Father, Heavenly Father, that obedience had already been practiced so many times so that it was not difficult for you to step in. And I guess the same thing for you, Mark. Were you a Christian at a younger age or later in life?
I did. I came to Christ. I placed my faith in Jesus Christ when I was in college. I grew up in church, so I had a lot of head knowledge, but I didn't have heart knowledge until I was in college. And then after I placed my faith in Christ and came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I transferred to Liberty University, an evangelical Christian school in Lynchburg, Virginia, and that's where I met my wife and Rob and Stephanie as well. It's interesting that you say and you're talking about the whole issue with children because, as I mentioned, that was really one of the biggest issues for us as young parents with small children, stepping out in faith, obviously that in a position that would involve a lot of travel. You know, here we are being obedient to Christ's call. What does this mean for our children, and how are we, our decisions and our faith affecting them? And it was a concern because it's a crazy lifestyle. However, what we did not see, but what we have seen these past 10 years, it has been a tremendous blessing as our children have firsthand seen God come through for us as we've stepped out in faith and trusted Him to meet our needs, to guide us. When we pray for certain things, our small children see God provide, and they see God come through. So they're seeing things that, you know, a lot of children don't get to see. You know, a lot of children, if we would be just safe at home, again, and not necessarily in a vulnerable position where we're forced to trust God, in taking the step of faith, we put ourselves in that place, and our kids have benefited because they have seen these lessons. As we learn them, they're kind of standing on the sidelines, and they're seeing God come through in tangible ways, and it's my prayer that they'll remember those as they grow older, and they'll have confidence and recall those experiences that they watched us experience themselves.
Makes me think of the scripture, without faith, you know, it's impossible to please God. And
right.
How we please Him when we step out, I can just imagine of how pleased God is that y'all have stepped out, and those children. And, you know, I just think of the ministry that y'all are doing, and I think of also Pastor Mary, who's on with us. You know, he trains us up. When you really look at your life, you as a Christian know God's hand without a shadow of a doubt. It's like a pieces of a puzzle, but it's a beautiful puzzle, and it's really an adventure. And it's so amazing where God has faith, because I think that's what's so hard today. Is a lot of our children, you hear that, you know, they don't have discipline. But it's not just the discipline that's absent. It's also that there's too much of the bad influence that is in there. And we're talking about media with the television, the movies, the culture. And so, you know, our world has just really gotten away from the foundation of this country. And we love it on City on a Hill that we have history. We have two history teachers that comes on, and one of them says, you know, the more I know about the history of this nation, the more I love my country, and the more I love God. And I feel the same way, because I feel so blessed. And just listening to y'all, you know, the privilege of being able to be in this country, to pray,
right.
and then to go and step out like you're doing. Nobody is telling you you have to work in a factory and do this and that. You can be whatever you want to. And in your case, you want to serve God, and you're able to. You are able to do it. And then, you know, people like us see the possibility coming out of what seemed like impossible. And I know that this peace and war video and the music is going to be such a help. I saw that the Nate Self, and I hope everybody will look up the Nate Self testimony, because you know, that could happen to any soldier. And without God, really, you know, no one, there is no foundation. There is no means of really hope if you don't have what you, Mark and Rob, do. And so tell us a little bit about how y'all got to know Nate, and, you know, how that impacted each of you, if you don't mind.
You know, we actually have not met Nate Self person to person. We have partnered with a ministry who has partnered with him. We're actually looking forward to meeting him here on April 15th at where we're going to reveal the song in this video. He's going to be present. And the song was written after I read his book and listened to an interview. They have edited this interview with him. And I also watched programs. He's been on Huckabee and Dateline. He's a war hero. And just really was so, just like you, just really moved by his testimony and moved by the different things that he's gone through, and just really felt led and prayed for God to give me a song that would really address some of the things that he was facing, and that so many other people are facing like him, that are in our military, these champions who fight for us and who do things that we cannot, and then they come home, you know, everybody breathes a sigh of relief when their soldier comes home, but the reality is, even though they may look fine on the outside, that there's a very large likelihood that there's a lot of wounds and scars that need to be healed on the inside. When they come home, everyone just breathes a sigh of relief, but there's still a battle going on that still needs to be fought, you know. And his testimony is powerful, and I really think God is using it to let other soldiers know that they're not alone, that there's other people dealing with the issues and the struggles that he faced. And by his victories, they too can have victory. And the hope that he's found, and he points clearly to Jesus Christ as the hope, you know, that they can hopefully turn to him as well and find hope in him as well.
Wow. And Rob, what is your perspective on this opportunity?
What is my first take?
Oh, what's your perspective on this opportunity?
Okay, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you too well, Diane. I'm telling you, we're all very excited to be involved. You know, I had a grandfather in the service. Mark's dad was in the service, and so, you know, so many of these dear soldiers. I mean, they're out there on the front lines fighting, and it's crazy. I mean, to me, and maybe it's different down there, right next to Fort Hood, but where we are, you know, close to, we're up in the Northeast. We're close to, you know, Philly, D.C., and kind of a liberal area up here. You don't hear about a lot of the PTSD and the soldiers that are returning, but you know, just filled with all these issues of anger, of questions, of thoughts of suicide. I mean, it's crazy that the stats I've seen lately are just it's sad to hear about, you know, what's going on. And when we were approached by this ministry to step out and say, hey, let's do something to help these guys, you know, maybe it's through a song. And that's when Mark felt the urge to write this song. And then a ministry that we partner with decided to put a video to it. And the whole thought behind everything is ministry. You know, there's no plans to, you know, sell it to whoever and make all these millions. It's about ministry. Their idea is to personally give each family that has lost a loved one in the military these CDs and videos, and we're just glad to be a part of it. You know, I mean, we don't hear a lot on the news of what these guys are going through, and I think it's important that we spread the word. You know, get people involved and to help our soldiers. You know, so we were glad to step up and sign up. Man, it's the least we could do. You know, these guys are putting it all on the line, and I think it's great that we're able to be a part of this.
Well, on the Fox News article that I read today on my cell phone, you know, it was saying that the military is like the canary. They really are just a signal that of the danger, and, you know, that the culture is really on a spiral. And it
right.
was saying something to the effect that, you know, we have not yet seen, as of that article, you know, the latest figures, but they have a feeling just as the military's suicide rates have increased drastically, that probably the country's rates also increased drastically. It seems like we're just spiraling downward.
Yeah, it does seem that way. You know, it's interesting as you talk to people in our culture who don't know Jesus Christ, you know, hope. And we talk about this often with our ministry, about that word is so frequently used. I mean, people, anytime they face an issue, oh, I hope this, you know, and I hope this. And people in our culture don't really know where to place their hope. You know, I mean, they place it in a person, in a relationship, you know, in whether they're going to make enough money or if they achieve something. But that word hope is just kind of thrown out there, and it's used so flippantly. But the reality is that we can have a confident hope in Jesus Christ. You know, that no matter what we face, no matter how deep the valley or, you know, whatever the struggle we may be facing, that we can face it with Christ. That when we're weak in Him, we're strong. You know, in God's Word, it says that He's the friend that's just closer than a brother, and that He will never leave us or forsake us, that He'll be with us to help us, you know, and that this song is actually about it. The title of it says He's the peace in the war. You know, obviously, war is a real war that's going on in Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean, there's a war going on here, you know, and this song, I think that it can even kind of not just, you know, speak or minister to people that have been in a war situation, but can speak and minister to the hearts of those who are just going through any difficult time. You know, that there's always hope, true, confident hope in Jesus Christ, and He truly is the peace in the war, whether it's the war in Afghanistan, whether it's the war in Iraq, or whether it's just the war that you're fighting at home. You know, maybe it's a family situation or a financial struggle. He's the peace in the war, and if you'll cry out to Him, He'll hear your cry. He'll take you out of that pit, and He'll set your feet upon a rock, and put a new song in your heart, as it says in Psalm 40. There's hope in Christ, and that's what this is all about, and that's why we're excited about this project.
Well, I'm looking at an article in Today's Christian that when I was trying to find out about Nate South, y'all mentioned about Nate South, and he's quoted saying here, when soldiers come home, I'll take them to breakfast or lunch as soon as I can. They need people to be interested, to show that they care. If people think that the VA hospital will solve all the problems, you'll overlook the greatest source of healing in any situation, Jesus. The majority component for recovery is a spiritual solution more than any secular clinical answer.
Amen.
And I think America is at this stage of, I think we're looking at ourselves in the mirror. You know, City on the Hill, we cover everything because we want to acknowledge God because He's in all things. And we are so blessed to begin a form of government where we can elect godly leaders so they can make godly laws. But as you even see today, Jesus' name is not even welcome in Congress, you know, anymore. And I think the more people know the truth of the history that Poe, George Washington, had such an awesome love for Jesus Christ, he even wrote about him. He journaled. And I was just thinking about post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm sure they had him too. They didn't have that terminology. And how did they cope? And I think about him. And George Washington wrote, and I really, personally, I love the fact that I can give it to God when I journal. I just write it down and give him a problem, you know, and write down the scriptures for it. But it's very therapeutic for me personally. But Jesus does save. You know, Jesus does save, as you say. And I'm just thinking, Pastor Mary, they were saying, the hope really is the same for people that are on post-traumatic stress disorder as also for those that you found out in the streets that are on drugs and are homeless.
Oh, yes. Yes. You know, as I think it was Mark was talking about, you know, it's just on all different levels, you know, and we deal with people that come from the streets and they're hopeless, they're despondent, they're depressed, and, you know, I have found out of all the years that I've been helping the homeless is that the Word of God is the most effective piece. I mean, it soothes the raving beast, you know.
I
tell people all the time because I go out and minister on the streets a lot, and I'm, you know, here I am, this woman, and I'm standing up ministering to gangsters or big, tall, I call them big, tall black men, you know. I mean, I have to face these men on the street, and people tell me, aren't you afraid? You know, but whenever you have God on your side, there's no fear, you know. And when you've been called to do something, when you've been anointed by God to do a work for Him, He anoints you for that work, and you don't have to fear. And so we have people come in, Diana, and I love to share because, you know, we have people coming off the streets who just, they don't, like Matt was saying, they don't know God. They don't know who Jesus is. Or, you know, some of these people have been raised in church, but it was a form of religion. They really didn't get to know who God was. And so our mission, we introduce them to the love of Jesus, just love. We teach them the Word of God, and we give them hope. We give them something to look forward to. One of the ladies just wanted, and one of the things the mission every is the Word of God. We do devotions every morning. Everybody gather around the table, and we open our Bibles, and we begin to read the Word of God to each other. And one of the ladies, I asked her a question. I said, well, what is it? How do you feel? Because the devotion this morning was talking about from sons to servants. You know, when we get saved, you know, we become a son of God. And most Christians, that's where they just stop right there. But when you become a servant of God, like Matt and Rod, you know, singing, ministering to people, and you're doing a work for God, that's a whole nother world. And she was, you know, her answer today was like, it really blessed me. She said, you know, I have purpose now. I have purpose. I have purpose. And this was a lady who had no hope when she come to us. And now she's saying, I have a purpose, you know. And that's what it's all about. And I commend you guys because, you know, I love hear people talking about when they stepped out on faith. You know, most
right.
people like to what they like to see, you know, where am I going to have the money? How am I going to do this, you know?
It's natural, you know.
You know, God is telling them to do something, and they're trying to say, well, I don't have the money. But,
right.
you know, if we'll just take our voice, and, you know, because there's power in our tongue, and people don't understand that. You know,
mm-hmm.
if we'll just take, you know, like you said, faith. You know, we started our mission on faith. We really, Diana knows personally, so, you know, we literally started on faith with nothing. But God told me, he said, I want you to establish a mission that when the people come in that they can get the word of God. You know,
yeah.
so we're not government funded, so we do everything on faith. And I tell you, it works. It truly works. Faith truly works.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I echo what you said and just totally believe God's word is so powerful. And when you prayed in the beginning of the program, you said from Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah 55:11, where it says God's word will never return void, that when it's proclaimed, it always accomplishes that which he purposed it to to accomplish. And it's so powerful, and it can change lives. I mean, God's truth is so powerful. And no matter what someone may be facing, Christ, Jesus Christ is the answer. I think we're going through a Bible study right now, and last week we studied John chapter 8, where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he said, whoever follows me will not have to walk in darkness anymore. You know, and it's that issue of just what you had mentioned about following, you know, about a continual thing. You know, it's that, you know, you can become a son of God, you know, when you get saved, you're born again, that spirit comes into your heart. But when you follow Christ, that's what Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me. And it's a continual thing, seeking after God, following, reading his word, says he will not have to walk in darkness anymore. And that's our hope and prayer for people in our culture and in our world who are searching and they're looking and they're walking, groping around in the darkness, looking for that light. But if you follow him, you know, you don't have to walk in darkness anymore.
Yeah.
You're so right. And that's why I know that the prince of the air and the enemy wants so much to stop the word of God in our schools and in our government and in workplaces. You know, I mean, because I'm reminded of Hosea, and it talks about how my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You know, and the scripture in John, it said, John 10th chapter, it said that my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. You know, and when we could just get to know who God is, get to know him and follow him and continue in him, even at the tough time when things are tough. And I tell people, that's how you can know when you really, really saved, when you're broke and you got nothing. You know, that's how you know that you really love Jesus, because you stay with him. You don't turn and go to other means, but you'll continue to follow Jesus whenever you don't have anything. And I've seen it all through my Christian life, that God always show up. He never leave us nor forsake us. He always shows up. Yeah, and I just love it. I love it.
Yeah. He's seldom early,
Pastor Mary,
but he's never late.
Amen.
Pastor Mary, I'm sorry, Pastor Mary. I think you're fading in and out just a little bit. I don't know if that's you. It might be me. But anyway, I'd like to also go ahead and you were saying something. I think it was you, Mark, that was saying something about follow. And I was thinking about the story, Pastor Mary. Remember the story about the demon-possessed man? He was cleansed of that demon, but then the demon came back to that man and brought seven more with him. And I'm thinking, is that because, you know, I think there's something important about being disciples that a lot of us are missing. A lot of the body of Christ is missing out on it. And I like what you said, Mark, about, you know, follow. It's really an everyday walk. You have to. You really just have to.
Right. Another thing I was I guess it was a revelation this week to me as I was reading Scripture, you know, again, kind of mentioning Jesus as the light, you know, and in John chapter 1 it talks about how light came into this world, is referring to Jesus Christ, and the men didn't like it. You know, men like the darkness, so they run and hide. And as you follow Christ, one thing that's so interesting and what I've experienced in my own life, that as I follow and as I grow in my faith and in my relationship with the Lord, the way I used to, you know, feel uncomfortable with the light, it's flipped. You know, now the darkness, you know, I'm not, as I have been following and growing in my faith, now I don't like the darkness like I didn't used to like the light. You know what I'm saying? In the light now, as I've been following, I'm more comfortable there. You know, I still may be tempted by the darkness, but the darkness doesn't cut it anymore. You know, I want truth, and I want Jesus, because I know that in Him is true joy, and Jesus is peace and hope and all these things we've been talking about that aren't there in the darkness. So I don't want that darkness anymore. I was comfortable there. You know, that's where I had lived, you know, 18 years of my life. And, you know, I had, and men in our world, they become accustomed. They're familiar with it. So they're, and when the light comes in and shines, you know, they want to turn it off, because it's like, you know, you're asleep at night and someone just comes and flicks on the light in the room. You want to pull the covers over your head and get back in the darkness. But as you just surrender, as you step into that light and just cry out to God and ask for salvation, as you follow and as you grow in your faith, that darkness that was once so familiar becomes uncomfortable the way the light once did. And, and it doesn't cut it anymore. And all you want is the truth, you know, and the hope and the peace that's found in that light in Jesus.
And I think this is why it's so important for the children. And I was reading some articles about the military and some of the depression, and some of them, of course, you know, they call into these helplines and got family problems and, you know, children problems.
Mm-hmm.
I think today that is one of the really goal of the enemy. You know, they've just about broken up the family because a lot of families
right.
no longer have husbands in the home, but now they're after our children, and they've got a new course here with our government and this nationalization of education that we've talked about, called Common Core Standards. And whose standards are they? Well, there's somebody's in Washington.
Right.
And they're going to eventually take away the parents' right to go before their school board and even have input on our, you know, curriculum. But that is one of the great concerns. And I'm thinking, Rob, you know, you saw for your life as a testimony, was talking about that. He had 18 years of that darkness. But, Rob, you were in the light for, you know, way when you were small on up, and much better it is to, you know, be in the light and to raise these children up as you were raised, walking in the light. But yet you see the warfare of the enemy against the children and the culture war that is going on. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I am just so thankful for parents who loved God and who loved me and who did their very best to make sure I wasn't in too many vulnerable situations as a kid. You know, I hear a lot of these stories of parents who don't invest in their kids' lives. You know, they don't tell them the simple things like, "I'm proud of you, I love you, I support you, I'm behind you." I heard that all my life, and I think that was a big key in just, you know, seeing godly parents who lived what they talked about. You know, they walked the walk and talked the talk, you know, and to be able to see firsthand Christ followers in obedience to His command for them to be in the ministry. Like I said, I'm son of a pastor. And it was good for me, you know. More than that, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I had a mom who prayed for me every day, and I knew she prayed for me. And the girls that she didn't like me hanging out with, she was more than obvious in informing me that I was making bad choices. You know, had she done the easy thing, like many of us parents nowadays, you know, I don't want to get involved, that kind of thing. It could have been a different story for me. You know, my parents were always involved in my life, and, you know, not crazy overbearing, but there enough where I knew that they cared for me, you know, and I think that was a big part in God's grace. I mean, number one, I mean, it, you know, anybody can be in a situation where, you know, it's pretty impossible or hard to fight on your own without Christ. But, I mean, God's grace is amazing. And, I mean, I ended up with a wonderful woman who, she's a great wife, great mother, and great ministry partner. And, you know, it's so much of a blessing to be where the Lord has called you, and you get to do it with your family. That's just, it's awesome.
Wow. When you let him order your steps, oh, my goodness, and be obedient to him. You know, that is so important for children to obey your parents. It's a training to obey the Lord. And I just think about this, Mark and Rob and Pastor Mary, you know, the role of the church today is more important than ever because, of, as we mentioned, you know, the family is falling apart. You know, you can't really get on with parents. I mean, a lot of teachers say, you know, I wish parents would get more involved. Well, you know, they're just trying to swim to the top to keep themselves from drowning when they're trying to raise kids as single parents, which many of them are. And a lot of these kids are latchkey kids. So I'm thinking to myself, who can help these families? Mm-hmm. And really the help that I think should come from the churches to stand in the gap. And I just commend y'all. Did I hear that y'all are trying to start a church in Delaware? Did I hear that right, or was that wrong?
We have started a Bible study in our home, and I do feel God leading us to do that eventually. So we're trying to be, you know, just kind of sensitive and obedient as God leads and directs us. At this point, it's just a Bible study that meets every Tuesday night in our home, and we're loving it. You know, people in our community, people that many people have gotten saved to the glory of God, but many of these people, it was so neat that the first couple weeks to hand out Bibles to these people and, you know, say, turn to the book of John, and many of these people didn't know what to do, you know, so what a blessing it was to show them, you know, where the book of John was in the Bible. That's what we're doing. We've been going through the book of John. I think the church is responsible for investing. What comes to my mind, I think it's in Galatians 6, correct me if I'm wrong, where it says, he who sows seed to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And I know I look at my children and all these children as just fertile ground, you know, that we can, as a church, as believers, sow and invest spiritual seed into their lives. And, you know, it may not bear fruit right away, but just trust in that, in God's perfect timing, that he will bear fruit from those seeds that we're planting into these children's lives, whether they're our own children, whether they're our neighbor's kids, whether they're classmates, schoolmates of our own children that maybe come and have a sleepover at our house. You know, but I think that as Christians and as church members should always be looking to sow that spiritual seed into the lives of these precious young children, for sure.
Yeah, I just think about David Barton has DVD about America's Christian heritage, and my hope and dream is that every church would show that, so that our children can be proud of that Christian heritage, so that our children would know of the truth of that Christian heritage, and that America can still fulfill that role of shining the light. And I just think about that prayer on the Mayflower and how God answers them, and he has let this nation shine, and we want it to continue to shine because we have our children. We love our children, and we want them to be blessed more than we were blessed. I mean, how can they be more blessed? But, you know, we always want better for our children.
Mm-hmm,
and I know that's probably a hope of y'all too, Mark and Rob and your wives. And Pastor Mary, you know, I thank God for you and your testimony. And I thank God. I was looking at the Nate self. You know, he was really pointing it back to the church. He has that church in Belton, Texas, if I remember reading that right. And, you know, the things that he's saying there, he wants people to see where the true hope comes from. And, unfortunately, it's not going to be in the hospital. I think they're bandaged, you know. And I think that's what's wrong with a lot. I think sometimes we neglect that spiritual side, the spiritual answer. We're so busy trying to get our pills, you know,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even counseling sessions. And
right.
we forget that, hey, just as real as the breath we take is that spiritual kingdom. And so I thank God for the opportunity of the video song because, as I also read in another article, you know, I think 500,000 died from Vietnam War, war in Vietnam, and my father was a Vietnam War veteran. But it also said 500,000 have died from suicide of those Vietnam War that came
yeah,
home.
I heard that same the stat that the same number of soldiers who died in Vietnam is the same number who's died since then of suicide. I've heard that same stat. It's unbelievable.
And that is so sad. We know where the hope comes from, and I pray that y'all will be heard. You know, I just pray because these families, they're out there. Their husbands and wives are on the front lines. The war is not over, and it sounds like there's new wars coming on. And we need to be for them, be there for them. And Pastor Mary, I think of that scripture, bind the strong man. Would you help
yes.
me out on that one? And I
yes.
feel like that's what the enemy's trying to do with our soldiers' families. You know, they're binding them up with all these new, you know, repeal of don't ask, don't tell. You know, more pressure, unneeded pressure on already a pressurized family. The mother who only sees her husband maybe every other year trying to raise a bunch of kids. I mean, and then the culture, everything that they watch TV. You wonder why children speak like they do. Watch some of these kids' TV sometimes. Listen to a six-year-old talking to an adult in such a dishonorable, disrespectful way, and everybody's laughing at it as if it's the funniest thing. I'm praying, you know, God would help those families. God will help us to see the truth in what we're letting into our homes. And I thank God for the message of you. And Pastor Mary, before we close, is there some other thing that you would like to add?
Yeah, well, I was, you know, just listening and talking about the children. And of course, you know, I raised my children to love God and to pray. And it's so important that parents teach their children because they're learning the wrong things at school. And I've been just urging my daughters now that they're grown to teach them, you know, that Jesus, that, you know, that male and female that God created Adam and Eve, you know. And I tell them, I said, look, teach them because they're learning the opposite in school and they're learning that it's okay to have two daddies and two mommies. So it's important for us to really instill the word of God in our children because, you know, they're not going to get it anywhere else. And another thing that really touched my heart today to share is that this is one of my favorite scriptures, and I dedicate this to all of the men and women who fight for our country. You know, Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and our minds in perfect peace." And, you know, I just love that word because that's a true word. Even in our worstest time, even when we're going through some of the most critical times of our life, we can stand on that word and know that God is going to keep us. He's going to keep our minds. He's going to keep our hearts. So many men's hearts are failing them because of the troubled times that we're living in. But God will keep our hearts, and he will keep our mind in perfect peace. Peace if we keep our mind stayed on him.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. I know
understanding.
When I read the scriptures, I can be mad 5 minutes ago, but when I read the scriptures, it washes me, it cleanses me, and my head is different. So I think just being obedient and abiding in God's word, as he says, you know,
yes.
is really very healing for us. Mark,
you know, one thing that's interesting.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say one thing that's interesting that I've, in just conversations that I've had with Christians who follow Christ, you know, in speaking specifically about peace and hard times is that, you know, there's a conception and there's a belief that, you know, when peace comes that the pain has to go, you know, but I've also realized as I've talked to people who have gone through hard times that peace and pain can dwell together. You know, that you can still be going through a valley and you can still be going through a hard time, but you can still at the same time have that peace that passes understanding. It doesn't make sense,
yes,
you know, but you can still have that peace and trust and hope even though you're sad and even though you're still going through a hard time or going through a time of pain.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes, and that's that joy, unspeakable joy, you know, that we
mm-hmm.
talk about. You know, you're so right, Mark. I mean, we can have that peace, you know, in the hardest time. And people ask me all the time, some of the people that know me, that I'm going through hard times, but I'm yet smiling, they say, how do you do that? How do you do it? And I'm able to share. You know, it's only through Jesus. I can do all things
right.
through
That's
Christ
right.
who
Amen.
Strengthens me. Yes.
That's right. We just encountered a beautiful, just glowed with the light of Christ woman 2 weekends ago. I'll never forget her. She came up to us after our concert and just was thanking us and just told us that it was such a blessing for us to be there at her church. But she had told us as she talked with us that very week she had been diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer. And she had the biggest smile on her face and she said, you know what, it's okay because either way I win. And she just was so full of joy. And, you know, we prayed with her. She talked about her husband, and she just said that her husband wasn't able to come that night because he was so devastated by the news. So we were blessed to be able to pray with her there. But that's what that peace that passes understanding is, you know, that even though she's facing circumstances that, you know, are unknown, that she can have that peace. And she's right. As a Christian, as someone who has placed their trust in Jesus Christ, either way, from her lips, either way, she wins. So that was truly a blessing to talk to her.
Awesome.
Well, Rob, would you like to add something to what we just alluded to? Or?
You know, I'm just, you know, soldiers fighting and coming home and dealing with, you know, family problems, marital problems, you know, I think, you know, what you guys are doing is awesome. You know, continue to get the word out. And I know it's not easy day in and day out to do what you do, but, man, I applaud you guys. And you know, we'll definitely be praying for your ministry there at City on a Hill. And I know that, you know, like Mark said, that the word of God does not return void. And I think it's so important that we get the word out, you know, and get the word out to our churches, you know. I think there's a lot of just people that don't even understand what's going on, you know, with our military and our soldiers, you know. And I think the simple thing is to get the word out, you know, tell as many as you can. And, you know, like we said earlier in the program, that if the church would rise up, you know, and take these folks in and help them with the next step to recover, you know, I think it's so important what you guys are doing, and I applaud you guys, and we'll definitely be praying for you.
Well, thank you, and I just appreciate what y'all are doing, because what you're really doing is you're discipling, it sounds like, with that Bible study, and really that's a thing that we have to keep on doing, you know. Once we get saved, it's just like Nate was saying, you know, you need to, when the soldier comes home, we need to immediately let them know how much we care. And
right.
I think you do that the same way. When that person receives Jesus Christ and we've told them where their hope is, we don't need to let them be alone. We need
right.
to show them what that means
right.
to them. And unfortunately,
yeah.
I think that's what's happened to too many Christians. They're really alone. The church is not going after them because, you know, they're sick and hurting. A lot of depressed people do not come out there after you for your
right.
company.
Yeah. And people are passive in today's culture. I mean, don't even take the church out of it. I mean, the average person in America is very passive. They could care less about the other person. It's all about me, you know. And that's filtered down into our churches. And I think it's important that we, you know, look outside of our box a little bit and step up to the plate and do what Christ has called us to do, and that's to be the light of the world, you know, and to continue to sow into these people's lives. And, you know, I think it's a a vital part, you know, for us as Christians, you know, to be involved and not just be so laid back and lackadaisical about everything. You know, if we get the word out and do our part, you know, God will be will do his part, you know. So we're excited to be partners, you know.
Well, I was hoping that my partner, Miss Barbara Moore, history teacher, would be here, because I thought to myself, you know, they're trying to do something in Delaware, Miss Barbara, and I just feel it in the spiritual world that that is doing something, you know, as well as in the physical world. And I just think about, you know, George Washington crossing the Delaware, and I'm hoping, you know, you're starting something in that part of the country where God's light is just going to shine so bright, because people are looking for him everywhere.
Yeah.
And now they have a place there. So thank you so much for that. God is so good. He is, you know, he's calling us all in our little places, our states. But I'm so glad and thankful that y'all took time out of your very busy schedule. This is a God appointment. Because like I said, I didn't know.
Our pleasure.
I didn't know about the military a part of this, really. I was just asking, but I did not know y'all are fixing to come out with that. So we'd like to invite you to come again, hopefully, maybe later July, if at all possible, and we'll play that song.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And but before we close, I would love to ask one of you to pray in closing. We always start with a prayer, Mark and Rod, because we want to remind the people that it's good and right in this country to pray. You know, we quote Benjamin Franklin, who said, you know, we have to pray before the start of business. And that was at a time when they didn't even think they were going to form a nation. Even George Washington was worried. And so Benjamin Franklin said, you know, stop. Let's pray. Let's give it to the one who saved us, paraphrasing, through that battle with Great Britain. I don't have it in front of me to quote it. Miss Barbara would have. But anyway, and so he said, let's start in prayer, you know, at the start of business. So we prayed in the beginning, and because we are talking about very deep subjects, because the world is full of trouble, suicide is a very deep, you know, subject that tears families apart. We want to give it to God in prayer, because we know he's the one that can help these people. So Mark or Rob, would either one of you mind praying for our soldiers, their families, and others?
Let's pray. Father, we are just so blessed to be part of this country, Lord, to just reflect upon how this country was founded and the heritage, the spiritual Christian heritage that we have as Americans, God. It is a blessing to learn about and to realize it's not taught or mentioned as much in public school, but it's a reality. People like George Washington, who had a relationship with you, God, and prayed to you and asked for wisdom and advice, God. Lord, would we be the same? Would we just ask for your wisdom, God? People in our country, God, I just pray that your light would shine in us and on us and through us. Lord, I just pray for the family, for the church, God, in America, that you would just move in a mighty way, God, that people would listen not only with their ears but with their hearts, God, and that people would look for you and look for ways to serve you and look for ways to glorify you and look for ways to have faith in you, God, as you lead them. Our culture is so reliant upon figuring things out on our own, but you want us to have faith, God, because you want us to know that you are a part of it, Lord, that you want to be glorified. So I just pray that the church would move, that they would reach out, just like you reached out to us individually and saved us through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray that we as Christians would reach out to others, God. As you shine your light on us, I pray that you would shine your light through us to others, God, and that we would take action and not just be passive, as Rob was mentioning, and just not say anything at all, but that we would look for opportunities to look out and to reach out to men and women who are part of our military, God, who are faced with struggles and situations that we don't have to face, God. They're fighting for us and they come home. Lord, even if it's just lifting up them in prayer, God, interceding for them on their behalf, God, I just pray that you would move in our country, God. I pray that we would see tangible results of your hand, God, court decisions and rulings and decisions in our government, God, I just pray that we would have godly leaders be put in place and elected, God, people that fear you and want to glorify you and live for you, God. Lord, I just pray that that would take place and you would just help us to see that and rejoice in it. Lord, no matter what we feel, we do trust that you are in control and we acknowledge it, God. Even you're just faithful. You've proven that to me personally time and time again, God, and I just pray that you would prove that to others and show yourself faithful to others as well, God. Thank you for this opportunity to talk about your word, to talk about you, Lord, to talk about the hope that's found in you. And I just pray that these people, men and women who are struggling, who don't have peace, can find it once and for all in you, and joy once and for all in you, God. Reach out to them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Mary, and your calling Levi,
thank
Matthew,
you,
I mean Mark and Rob, and would like to ask you, Mark, Rob, if you're ever in Alabama, please look up Pastor Mary.
All right.
And her ministry, or let her. Yeah, she would be a great one for y'all to really just look at what she's doing. It's one of those like y'all. She's being just listening to God and being faithful. So God bless you. God bless your listeners.
You.
Thank you
Bye-bye.
For this opportunity. God bless you.
Thank
Goodbye.
You. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Hear the heart of heaven beating. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And the mercy breathing, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hear the host of angels sing, glory to the newborn King, and the sounding joy repeating, Jesus
You have been listening to the radio program, A City on a Hill, promoting the Christian biblical worldview. May God bless you richly as you serve the Lord.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.